My name is Nick the Moose Batsman. I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Monday the 8th of February. We're here 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. covering markets and sport live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Today's guest list for the 10 a.m. show: Zach Mir, Marcus Oswald, Marcus Ashworth, Ben Harrington, Steve Woodcock. For the 1 p.m. show today, we've got a politics show with Budgie Wright, we've got Tony Cross, James Hughes, and a rerun of Zach's live charting. Right, let's kick off with Zach Mir, technical analyst at Zach's Trader Cafe. Morning, Zach.
Morning.
And Mr. Mark Oswald, market strategist for ADM Investor Services. Morning, Mark.
Morning.
Right, Zach, kick me off with a thought of the day.
LSE shares down 4% today. I think that's a bit of a barometer of stock market sentiment.
Mark?
We're still focused on oil, unfortunately. Equity markets started off on a slightly more optimistic note. Oil tanks 35 cents and down go the equity markets. A little bit boring.
Right, let's kick off with some juicy slides. Let's start with the first one, the most important one of the day, Tip TV Finance app. Get the latest tips first, download from the App Store, Tip TV in the 21st century. Let's move on to the second slide. Join the Tip TV family, daily trades, technical analysis and exclusive videos. Follow us on the official Tip TV. My production team have asked me to say follow us in for the real-time updates, exclusive videos, Twitter handle being official Tip TV. As we always say, if you want the guests to cover any particular markets or topics, let us know. And as always, if you want a humble opinion on the technical analysis, Zach is here with his live charting. Right, let's move on to broker upgrades and downgrades. Zach, you chose Poundland, G4S and WH Smiths. Just a couple of lines on each of these, please.
I always like to follow Deutsche Bank's recommendations because they are a fine financial institution, making losses on a daily basis. But anyway, Poundland, a discount retailer, you would have thought that they would be doing well at the moment, but the problem is that everybody's at the same game, as somebody from Beaufort Securities pointed out to a couple of years back. So there's no barrier to competition there, and I would disagree with the buy recommendation there.
It's now a 25 pence store.
Yes, exactly. So the pound looks rather expensive.
Yep.
G4S, probably the one of the worst shorts of the last few years, even though they had all those mishaps, just seems to be the company just doesn't die down. Underperform, maybe, but I don't think it's anything worse than that. The other point to note is that G4S has such a big multinational presence that it's got a commanding position in its sector. So I think anything bearish on that, even with all their mishaps, is too unkind on that. And then WH Smith, I like the way that the market seems to have gone quiet on that, on the way that they take the VAT discount that you should get when you're duty free.
Bonnet,
they take the 20% after you show them your boarding card, which you should be getting. So you pay a high street price, which you know is 20% more than you should be paying. But good time to buy the shares.
Let's have a quick look at these charts. These are as of the close on Friday. Poundland, again, pretty rubbish chart, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, just but totally counterintuitive with the austerity thing. So I think it's just one of those things that sometimes the fundamentals don't work and the technicals do in that situation.
Okay.
Also a crowded space.
Very exactly. I was saying competition was the word I was trying to grapple for. G4S, I think we're probably back to where we were at the time of the mishap, but you just see that the shares did actually climb a lot before. I don't think there's going to be that much downside from these levels.
Understood. And WH Smiths?
Don't get mad, get even. This is a perfect example of that. I don't like them, but as they're taking the VAT money, might as well go along with the shares.
Sort of key technical level, around 1760 old resistance, new support potentially.
But that flip back to the upside is just a rock solid signal there. The gap down and then the gap up. One of the best charting signals around. So WH Smith still going on.
Understood. Mike's morning markets overnight. Asian markets up following last week's declines. Chinese markets closed all week for lunar holiday. Crude oil edges up as Saudi and Venezuelan oil ministers hold success talks on cooperation. Vitol, the world's largest independent oil trader, says oil to trade $40 to $60 band for the next 5 to 10 years. Earnings, Randgold Resources, only company in note to report, is up 28% this year. Wowee. Let's move on to FX Street. Omkar Godbole's thought of the day. Friday's dollar rally could be short-lived. And again, there's some statistics there on the slide. CME data showing Fed still not expected to hike rates this year. Dollar index hourly chart shows bullish divergence has run out of steam. A couple of words on dollar index.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those ones where it just goes round and round in circles. Mm. It is all contingent on the Fed outlook. We are, in OIS terms, looking at a chance of 12 basis point hike by the end of the year. That's what we're discounting in the market. It really is going to hinge, everything will hinge on what Miss Yellen says later in the week and what the retail sales numbers look like. I think Yellen will probably be fairly non-committal, i.e. she will leave the Fed with lots of room for manoeuvre. There are, after all, another 5 weeks to the next FOMC meeting, lots of data to get through, lots of market, whatever it does. And they just don't want to paint themselves into a corner. They haven't wanted to for quite some time.
Yep.
Markets probably won't know how to react to that. So we'll probably get quite a lot more volatility, both in dollar and other asset classes.
Understood. Let's move on to a slide that you chose this morning, Mark. What is this telling the Tip TV crowd?
Right. That is that OIS index. That's basically what markets discounting in 12 months' time in terms of US, well, in this particular case, in terms of US dollar interest rates relative to where they are now. So we're basically looking at Fed funds being, well, that measure being 12 basis points higher. So a 50% chance of one rate hike in the next 12 months. That's what the market's telling us at the moment. It is interesting to note that people like Mr. Kaplan from the Minneapolis Fed last week said, market expectations on rates flip-flop around. We don't necessarily have to pay that much attention to them.
But what's your view on, because for me it's just to do with the stock market. The FOMC or the Fed are just looking at the stock market effectively in the same way the Chinese keep bailing out the stock market. That's the big barometer. That's their big indicator.
If the
Dow falls 1,000 points between now and the next meeting, there's no way they're going to raise rates, is there?
So that would be capitulation then. So this is really what the Fed's looking at.
But they shouldn't be.
They're looking at the experience back from August, September. And back then, they were worried that financial markets, particularly the equity market, was capitulating, less so credit markets. I think at the moment, what they're looking at specifically is, are we going to have complete capitulation in the equity markets, or are we going to have credit Mageddon? Thus far, the only credit Mageddon that we're getting is in the energy-related sectors. Yes, we have seen some rise in high-yield non-energy sector, but it's not exactly huge. And if you actually discount how much government bond yields have fallen, you probably just say, well, the yields are still the same. The only difference is the spread's widened because government bond yields have gone down so much.
Let's finish off with the last What's Trending. Yellen's speech, were the FOMC to delay the start of policy normalisation for too long, we would likely end up having to tighten policy relatively abruptly to keep the economy from significantly overshooting both of our goals. Gold. The gold price came sharply off its latest three-month high as the US jobless rate hits eight-year lows, with companies only adding 150,000 below the expected 190,000. Shetland Gas, a gas plant in Shetland, has been fired up by Total, capable of supplying energy to up to 2 million homes. That's a nice way to end the market roundup.
Very nice.
Technically speaking, just before we take a break, how bad are the charts looking?
For me, below 5,800 on the FTSE is straight to 5,600. That's even worse given the way that we've had quite a rebound in the mining sector. So 5,800 is actually a very low level. But the other thing is probably the Dow retesting the August support, 15,500, I think, the 15,500, and the S&P 1812. Those are the key issues now. FTSE's, the DAX is already leading, it's got broken the August low.
Yep.
Let's see if the other markets also break their August lows.
Understood. Right, let's take a very quick break.